Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 10 of the Drink Culture Podcast, technically part 2 of the John Rangel and Luke Schneider La Margarita episode. So we're going to get a little geeky, more on the side of mezcal things here and exactly what makes something a mezcal versus what is a tequila. We kind of bounce around, but first time having two guests on with Jared and myself. Was pretty interesting. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that first part, listening to their story and how they got started and are ready to learn a little bit more about the agave spirits. So without any further ado, let's get into this episode.
No, I agree. So let's go ahead and kind of flip the script a little bit. And wouldn't mind if you guys broke down and gave us a little bit of a lesson, so to speak. A history lesson, I guess. Yeah, I guess you call it history lesson on agave. I think, what do we have on a total of spirits here, agave-based spirits?
We lost count.
Yeah, we tried to. We used to try to do it. That used to be like a.
Yeah, we used to. That used to be on the menu.
Like I say all that shit, and I'm like, we have 180.
Yeah.
Would you say it's less than 200 or over 200?
Oh, it's more than two.
More than 200.
More than 200, yeah.
Maybe three.
Is that
or four,
the biggest?
I don't know.
Probably the biggest collection here in Indianapolis from a bar standpoint.
I don't know.
Of agave specific stuff, I think we could say yes. There are definitely some other places in town that do a pretty good job, and I'm sure they have a pretty solid.
There's a lot
selection.
Of good agave spots in this city. I mean, to be quite honest,
it's amazing. It's crazy.
Throw a couple out there. Give us three. I know we're not promoting other places, but
no,
I'm curious.
I'm totally down to promote other places.
Because I don't know. I'm just curious.
Luke, do you want to?
If I put you on the spot, I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, no. It's fine. I mean, Mr. Tequila just around the corner. You know what I mean? Go there, and they've got a pretty solid selection.
Libertine.
You know,
okay.
Well,
that's what I was gonna go that route, but I was trying to think more agave specific. But yeah, like there's a
Bluebeard has an amazing collection of booze on their shelf.
Like Repeal actually has a pretty solid agave collection. Honestly,
yeah.
I mean that dude's into the stuff, and he's got a good palate for it, and he carries some of the stuff that we really like.
You're good.
I would also say Pioneer. I mean, they've got a great bar program as well. So it's like, I mean,
come
that's
to
like
Fountain Square. If you don't come
to
La Margarita, just go to any of the spots. They're all killer.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, again, like.
That'd be my top five. Bluebeard, Libertine, Thunderbird, Pioneer.
Although
you guys number one.
Obviously.
Every day of the week.
Actually,
even Monday when we're
a
closed.
Solid, I think it's Desayuno de Campeones, which is like Bohemia and mezcal and a beef jerky stick and an oyster and Bloody Mary mix.
Wow.
And it's amazing. So, I've had that more than once.
Who thought of that drink?
A genius would be my guess. I'm not sure.
So we've got some pretty unique bottles, at least unique to me, because I'm not as well-versed as I am in some other things here. So John told us selflessly that you are kind of the more knowledgeable on the mezcals. You know, if you can break down a little bit of a difference between what like a tequila is and what a mezcal is, because I think that there's a lot of people that are still in the dark. I mean, it's a growing spirit. It's a growing category that is just now seeing quite the boom.
Sure. Well, I know that I like to drink it, so I guess that makes me an expert, but not really at all. I would say, just generally speaking, so everything. Every spirit that we carry on the back bar that's obviously not your gins and vodkas and bourbons, and we have a few of those things kind of tucked away in the corner, but it's all an agave distillate, which essentially just means it comes from an agave plant.
Mm-hmm.
Mezcal was kind of the progenitor for all of that stuff, and the kind of big key trait to that is that they smoke the agaves in these big underground pits, and that smokiness will carry through distillation. Over time, they realized that there was one spot within Mexico, the town of Tequila, that grew the Blue Weber agave, which is also an offshoot of the Espadin. I feel like I'm nerding out really.
This is awesome. I'm literally dialed in right now. This is exactly what we want.
Okay. So
I like
within
when you
that,
say progenitor, too. As
yeah,
well.
I know. I looked that word up today. I was pretty sure it meant what it meant, and I was happy to know that it did. So progenitor, yeah. So one region, one specific agave varietal, the blue agave, and then that's kind of what turned into tequila. Instead of smoking it in underground pits, they'd bake it in ovens, and that would caramelize the sugars inside, essentially, so that they were fermentable. And then that's sort of the big difference, is that they're both regional based. Mezcal, it's smoky, and we say that it's smoky, but really, like, after you sort of get over that, smoke should be balanced within it, and it should have a little bit more complexity to it.
Yeah, no, we're good. I'm sorry. There's just like a weird noise coming through on the headphones, and
I think
I'm not
that's
sure
the sound of my voice.
No, your voice is sultry.
Ooh. It is, isn't it?
It almost sounds like a little.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys want to perhaps pop a bottle open and drink some of this?
Yeah,
while
absolutely.
We speak?
Let's go for it. So we're about trying different things, and then
El Búho.
Especially on the show notes, we'll leave some.
I can't wait to wake up and drive to Chicago tomorrow morning.
Oh, you'll be fine.
No, we'll
it
could
just
be
breakfast
could just
champions.
Be I'm
going
to have a breakfast of champions again on the road. Yeah. It could be some tasting sizes. So, so one thing I was reading on with the Mezcal side of things and just the whole industry in itself is it's very similar. We talked about like being organic, right? It's like knowing where your product comes from. And I think the big industry of tequila has sort of taken off where it's about mass production, where I think people are kind of coming back now a little bit more to kind of learn a little bit more about where the product comes from. I think that's why, and correct me if I'm wrong, why Mezcal is kind of taken off a little bit more versus the basic tequilas that a lot of people see on the shelves.
I completely agree with that. And that's the thing, too. It's like, that's like the only thing I could contribute to this kind of like conversation. That's Sam Harding over there. He's a beautiful, long-haired gentleman. He's you can't see him on here, but he's one of the owners of Pin Vault.
Oh, yeah, nice. That is some beautiful hair.
He's a stunning figure, isn't he? But
got some long locks.
Mezcal and agave in general, it's especially with, because I don't know, I feel like tequila's kind of it's gone, and it's not gone, but it is like it's a commodity now, you know. And I feel like mezcal, we still have a chance to not spoil completely, if that makes sense. So it's like, how do you be a purveyor of it but also a responsible purveyor of it? And I think that's, and I don't know a lot about other spirits, but you know, with this one, I mean, you know, an agave is a plant, obviously, and it you know, it can be abused. And I hate to think that with tequila especially, it's a very homogenous kind of plant. You know, it's made the same way throughout. You know,
well, and I think that people
region.
Have this weird view of tequila, right? Everybody just kind of thinks, well, I
well,
think
they had
the
lost
general,
college weekend where they drank way
Cuervo,
too much
exactly.
of it, and now they can't smell it. Yeah. Well, yeah. We run into that a lot, and that goes back to the education from our perspective, I think. Because all the tequilas we carry are 100% blue agave. That's kind of an important distinction just for consumers when you're out buying things. Anything that doesn't say 100% can be only has to be 51%, and
there's
then
other
be,
fermentables in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of
so kind of like a blend, would you say? Or
yeah,
no?
Well,
yeah.
You can do any sort of cheap colorings or sugars. You know, they
gotcha.
Can
sugar
and
cane
all
or,
that.
Yeah,
you know,
corn.
You drink too much, the sugars. What gives you the hangover? You know what I'm saying? I've heard that if you only drink 100% blue agave tequilas, you won't be hungover the next day. I'm here to tell you that that's not entirely accurate. But you'll feel
that
way
is
better.
Bullshit.
Okay. Yeah.
So take that person who has that horrible college experience, right? What would you recommend to that person who can't even take the smell of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I try to sort of explain kind of what we talked about. Was
Taco
like,
Bell,
well,
Pizza Hut.
Did you have? And you know, I hate to like, right? Exactly. I hate to like be disparaging about certain things because certain houses make lots of things under their same umbrella. But you know, a lot of people have had bad experiences with like a Jose Cuervo type yeah. mixto tequila. And again, they make some other stuff that's pretty good, so it's not all bad or anything. But like, I generally ask if is that what you had? And I was like, yeah. And did you have like 10 to 15 shots on your college weekend? I was like, yeah. I was like, I did that too one time, and I felt terrible. But I've learned that if I have kind of transitioned into this stuff, I don't have that experience, or perhaps try a margarita, because
yeah.
you got citrus and sugar. It's a classic cocktail. You know what I mean? You can't go wrong, and it's gonna taste delicious. Hopefully, you know.
Do you guys have? I mean, you guys might have this. So I apologize for any ignorance on this, but do you guys have like an educational program to where like a mezcal or tequila 101 or anything of that nature?
We do.
We literally have something that says tequila 101.
That's true.
We put
yes.
together like this. bar. I'm sorry to interject.
No, go ahead, man.
We put together an agave spirits training, and then on the back of it, it's like, you know, a beer training, and we would do these kind of like crash courses. So we do, but I'll let you get into
it. Is that for employees or is that for like customers who can come in here?
We used to do both, really. Yeah. We try to have like this big expansive menu explaining everything. And spent a lot of hours on in bed on Photoshop and Illustrator putting together something no one would ever read. So
that explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, no, it does.
So what are we drinking right now?
So we are drinking El Bujo, which is... We don't technically have like a house mezcal, but this is the closest thing we have to it. Again, it's an espadine, which is the most common varietal of agave that they'll use for mezcal production, partially because its maturation cycle. It's about like blue agave in that it's about 8 to 10 years before the plant's actually ready. And that's another cool story about all of this stuff is sort of the time and the patience that it takes to create this product and the end result of it.
And that gets back to the point I was making is just like, you know, you got to take care of it. You know, it's not like corn. You know, corn comes up every year, right? Hopefully. I mean, God.
Right.
We're going to do a climate change podcast?
We've got a lot of podcasts coming our way.
Episodes coming up with John. So I'm excited for those.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. It's almost like, you know, it's kind of sacred. So, you know, you don't get it every year, you know, so it's like...
Yeah, these grow once. Am I right?
The
agave plants grow one time?
You know, so I don't know. It's kind of like, it's awesome selling and I love it and I want to share it with people, but it's...
Yeah, like, you know, I honestly like have developed a new respect after, you know, in the last couple of weeks, I've been reading on different spirits a little bit more often, especially on the mezcal side of things. And like we kind of briefly touched on it earlier, like it takes a long time for this plant to grow. And I think you just hit it and just like that whole respect of the aging process, not the aging process, but the years it takes to develop this product. I think people need to understand that. And it's not just a, hey, let's pour up this bottle and take some shots and rip them really quick. Like just sipping on this.
We can
right
do
now,
that.
Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But we could always just do that.
Yeah.
But just sipping on this right here, like right away hits your tongue. And there's some sweetness involved. Like it doesn't even taste like tequila mezcal or you know what I mean? Like what you're used to.
It's got some nice legs on it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sure. I get a little vanilla, some acetone, obviously the smoke, but again, I like it because it's not a big smoke bomb like some of the others, so it works well for cocktails. You can sip it if you want to.
Yeah, this is a super versatile espadine.
I literally wrote that down. It says slight smoke towards the finish there. Like you can feel it, but it's not like going to blow you away.
Yeah, exactly.
I think one of the things that I've kind of come into is just I don't like a margarita with tequila in it. It has to have mezcal.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're
like
drinking
that,
right
that
now, by
smoky,
the way.
Yeah, dude, it's delicious, but that smokiness just adds something completely different to where it takes away, and this is probably a lot of what you guys do with not using just straight mixers of, like, sour juice or whatever, but it's a completely different profile. I love it.
Oh, yeah, that's how I am. I mean, I'm kind of like a snob now with that kind of stuff. It's like I got at least a mezcal floater on my margarita. Like, I love a good margarita, don't get me wrong, but I want like a little bit, like you said, you know, I want a little bit of that complexity that you get from mezcal.
Would you guys offer a, like, if a group came up to you and was like, hey, we want to bring in 15 people to do like an educational piece on, you know, a flight of tequilas, 5 different tequilas or mezcals, would you guys be open to that?
We do that. Okay. Yeah, we have some nights where we're doing that.
Yeah, we generally will work with brands when they come in, like the head honcho. Like, for example, Chamucos, not one we're sampling now, but a killer brand if you see it, buy it. I don't know why I'm plugging them. I don't get any money for that.
You might.
If their sales spike, I'll let you know.
Drink good stuff, and that's one of the things that's good. So, they just came in, and we did a small plates, 3-course dinner with a flight and a couple of cocktails, and had one of the guys come in and kind of just talk about their production process and tequila in general. And those are always nice, too, because we don't have to lead the thing. We just kind of get to, like, soak up the knowledge and eat the leftover food and then drink the leftover booze. So we missed the presentation, but aside from that, it's awesome.
Yeah. No, there's not, like, a huge demand for that, but, like, people that are, like, into it, and I'm sure you guys see this, are into it, you know, like they want to know more about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's why it's kind of like a niche, kind of like, you know, hobby. I would call it a hobby. You know, the people that are about it are about it. So we do like small, maybe like 20 person kind of like dinners, and we'll do those throughout the summer with a food truck. And they're fun, just educational courses, flight presented in front of you. you know, figure out what you like. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, figuring out what, you know, what you enjoy in these spirits, especially agave here, obviously. So
outside of what you guys have at the bar, are either of you collectors? Like, do you go out and hunt like special bottles? What do you guys do at home?
Yes is the answer to that.
I was going to say, there's bourbon hunting, right?
That's you guys, right?
Well, I don't want to go there, but...
No, I mean, you can. I mean, I get it. So you got a collection at home.
Yeah, I've got a collection of about 50-ish bottles. 57 bottles is exactly what I have.
Why aren't we recording this at your place?
Yeah.
We have. Oh, we absolutely have.
I was going to say, that used to be the Drink Culture HQ there, so... But yeah, do you guys have specific favorites that like your go-to bottle that you're gonna always lean on every single time? Do you have your own collection at home, or is it just kind of, do you just use the bar as like, hey, that's my space to collect at?
Both,
a little bit of both. Yeah, I mean, the way that we kind of look at the back bar is that it's sellable art. You know what I mean? The bottles are beautiful.
Yep.
That's part of the culture of tequila and mezcal production. It's a little different than bourbon hunting because like maybe you could drive 5 hours in any direction. Maybe not bourbon specifically, but you know, you can get to that place that may just have 2,000 liters or whatever you want, and you can buy it. Whereas, like, for this stuff, for the most part, I mean, Chicago has some stuff that we don't have, but you got to go to Mexico to get that stuff.
That's true. It's not made in Kentucky, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that gets expensive real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, we do have bottles at home, and I full disclosure, I had a bottle in my hand, and I was going to bring it, but there were only, like, 2 ounces left, and I was like, I'm sorry.
We don't like you enough.
I didn't know.
No, that's fair.
Well, you didn't know.
You want to unplug his mic right now? That's completely
Wait, this thing is on? But yeah, I mean, if you guys want, we can sample a couple tequilas as well. That might give us a better understanding of like
absolutely.
The differences between some of these things. So here, I'll let you guys start and pour.
This could be dangerous.
Tequila Ocho as a brand, which this kind of goes back to some of our conversations earlier. Essentially, what they're doing is trying, to illustrate that terroir exists within agave. So what they'll do is they'll go to separate farms and just source agaves from any one farm and then make their tequila from that. The production process and the barrel aging regimen is pretty light for the most part because they don't want to sort of skew the different tastes that one might get from different reposados.
Yep.
So this is one of those ones that's like always my go-to because of that. And it's, you know, we got plenty more. We got another bottle.
Oh, man, that is, I get a lot of honey out of that.
A lot
that
of what?
Like honey notes?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's like very sweet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is going to be a pretty simple basic question for you guys. Can you explain the difference between reposado,
añejo.
What else am I missing?
So, like my
extra
real
añejo.
Okay.
Real gold.
That's already got it.
Oh, okay.
Now it has more. I poured him a glass, and it wasn't enough, so he cracked another bottle. And now he's pouring more
there
into
was
the bottle.
Only
he works here. He can
just
do that.
I'm just gonna narrate the rest of this podcast.
Luke's pours are a little bit beyond the tasting pour, which I enjoy. So,
well, right, we're here to have a good time.
He's
right?
got a heavy hand.
Yes. So back to Blanco Repo Añejo Extra Añejo. The real fast short answer is whether or not it sees oak and how much time.
Gotcha.
Because with tequila production, if it's 100% blue agave, the only way it gets color is by spending time in a barrel.
Yeah.
And there are no specific regulations on what kind of barrels you can use or have to use, aside from the fact that it's oak. So you can use different kinds, and you can blend those kinds together. That's what the majority of places do, because barrels are static, or they're dynamic, so they're all a little bit different. But essentially, a Blanco is an unaged tequila. Repo spends from 2 months to 364 days in oak. Añejo from 1 to 3, and then extra from 3 to up. But this is one of the educational things I'll kind of tell our staff is like to tell people that doesn't really do anything. That's like knowing historical dates without the context for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you're just on a sliding scale of how much oak it sees and what the guy's making it essentially, what kind of oak they wanted to use. So,
And that comes through in not just color, but complexity of flavor as well. So, I mean, yes, there's a historical component to it, but it's also very visual. right? You can see the longer it spends in a barrel, the darker it's going to be.
Exactly, and the char of the barrel will affect that as well. Yeah, for sure. So,
and I like that. And I'm kind of like the more I've gotten, you know, familiar with agave spirits, I like the flavor of agave. And it was so hard to like put your finger on like what that flavor was, but now I still can't describe it to you, like the fresh agave kind of flavor. But it's like, you know what I mean, like grass and like citrus, and those are the certain, you know, like flavor profiles of it. But like when you drink a nice reposado, like from this age, you know, 2 months to a year, the first thing I want to taste is that clean agave, you know. Like I still want that flavor. That's like the dominant flavor in tequila for me. If I get like a heavily oaked añejo, then I'm kind of like, I'm back at bourbon, or, you know, I'm back at, when the caramel overtakes and masks all that, you know, that 6 to 12 year span it took to grow that, you know, that beautiful succulent, like, I feel like it might be lost a little bit.
Like
I
think ruins it a bit or something.
Yeah, and that doesn't, well, yeah, I don't want to say it ruins, because I do enjoy it.
Well, for you.
Yeah, possibly. For me, yeah. Like, I like them as a belly washer, you know, like, if I'm, like, a nice añejo, like, that's, like, if I've eaten, like, entirely way too much food, like, I'll have an añejo, but, like, if I want to sip on something, like, I'll go to Reposado or a Blanco or just a Mezcal every time, because I still get all that, you know, complexity. I get a little bit of barrel, a little bit of, you know, the agave.
So what do you guys recommend to patrons here, in a sense of, do you suggest they sip it neat, or do you offer up different ways? Like, what's your most approachable way of offering it to customers?
So I think for us, it's essentially at the end of the day, like, once, you know, people should be able to drink whatever they want to drink, however they want to drink it.
I agree with that.
Because most of the time they pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, it depends. If somebody's looking for a cocktail, then it's probably Repo down, a Blanco or a Repo. Because I think and it depends on the cocktail. Like, if you want, you know, an agave old fashioned, you might find an añejo that works fantastic in there.
So Luke does very good añejo cocktails, by the way. I think we should have him make some here in a bit.
Maybe. Depends on how long we're going to do this.
I think it's a 7-hour podcast.
17, yeah. I want people to at least try to sip it. You know what I mean? We actually, I don't know if I should or shouldn't say this, but we run a shot special with our house tequila. That's only $5. So, like, a lot of times, you know, you kind of have to feel people out. I'm like, are you wanting to throw something back with your friends? Because you're ordering 5 shots.
Yeah.
Then maybe do that. And there's nothing wrong with it. But if you want to, like, sit down and sip something or engage with it, like, I might suggest our flight guide, which is a great way to try a couple of different things, or just pick out one or two tequilas. This is actually one that I go to quite a bit because I like the story of it.
Yeah.
Is that the El Bujo?
The El Bujo, yes. But the okay, Tequila
gotcha.
Ocho.
Gotcha.
For tequila. For
gotcha.
I think we sit around Reposados more than the other ones, because you still get a lot of that cooked agave note.
It's a good middle of the road.
Exactly.
You get the barrel, and you get the fresh kind of agave. I always recommend a Repo. I mean, if you like want to try tequila, that's kind of where I start. Like,
yeah.
Do you guys have a lot of usuals that come in that sit down and like, hey, I'm, you know, I want to order this, you know, mezcal today or whatever the case may be?
Oh, yeah.
Or,
yeah. I would say, if we're speaking honest, we have a better beer following community.
Okay.
But we definitely have an agave following as well. They're just less of them, but they're equally as passionate.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
So before I forget to ask, we did throw out some stuff on Instagram, and we had one person, luckily, shout out to Matt Greaser, hopefully I'm saying his name correctly, who did have a question. So hopefully you guys can help get him a little bit more information. He's headed to Mexico and is interested in pulque. So do you guys know a little bit about that? Do you have that here?
Essentially, it's the oldest fermented beverage in the Americas, honey water. What they would do is essentially ferment the inside of an agave. And I can't remember how long that takes. I think it's just a day or two. It doesn't take too long. Mm-hmm. And you want to drink it fresh. So the only pulques available, and there is one
they're
available in this market, but they're all pasteurized. And not that there's anything wrong
decent.
With that. It's just like, that's not the pure reflection
it's
of...
It's not authentic.
Yeah,
they gotta be funky and like I had one when I was in Mexico recently, and it was,
yeah,
it's pretty intense. It's yeah, not really? Like, yeah, and you should try it if you can find it. It's not like,
certainly, yeah. So our suggestion, I think, would be try to find it fresh.
Yeah, and they're
I'm
traditionally
not sure
like lower ABV, right?
Yeah, yeah. More beer-esque. Yeah. It's not, it obviously not distilled, so just yeah, fermented. Yeah. But yes, lower ABV for sure.
There you go, man.
Learn something new.
Yeah,
yeah.
That one's for you.
Come
buddy,
and tell us how it was, man. That's
yeah,
what I want to know. Yeah,
they're funky, man. They're right, like, you know, natural kind of fermentation, kind of like, you know, kind of baby barf kind of in certain instances. So it's yeah, it's
that
a
sounds delicious.
It's, mm, it's so good.
Yummy.
Like right, it's a it's a wacky beverage.
It's like milky looking.
Yeah,
right?
It's like milky.
Interesting. So.
What are some other trends that you guys are seeing? Not necessarily just in the industry of spirits.
Hazy IPAs.
It's what?
Hazy yeah, IPAs.
Did he tell you say that?
No.
No, he's no.
Oh my goodness. It's, we
it's, I love
it's literally
them,
his like jam right now. It's right, all he says.
I mean,
me
yeah,
articles,
there's a reason for that, right? You know, I can yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's those, funny. No, that's
come
exactly.
Come back this week and we'll have a pretty killer one from yeah, 18th yeah, Street on, actually, yeah, dude.
I will be.
All right.
Are you guys going to the Microbrewers Festival?
I've got a wedding this weekend, so
oh,
I'm going to try
right,
to play
be
cool
out of town
on Friday. Or on Saturday, I'm going to be at the wedding. But
yeah,
we'll have good beer on all weekend, though, for it, you know. But I'm not. Are you guys going?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
I think the weather's going to like kind of mellow
oh,
out,
dude, it's
too.
It's
going to
be
so
in like the 70s
nice,
or so.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's perfect for getting really loose.
So
I don't know. Some might say mezcal in general is sort of a trend right now.
Yeah.
We're kind of carrying the flag and embracing it. And for us, I don't think it's going anywhere. Popularity may wax and wane. I don't know these things, but I mean, if you want it, come
can
find
I throw
it
back
right
at
here,
you? What are you guys saying? Just
oh, yeah,
from, you know, like a restaurant standpoint, you know?
Well, I think that my knowledge base is somewhat limited, so I can only speak to what I've seen, right? And, you know, my scope is only as big as I've let it become. So just it through the podcast, I've actually been able to open up to just a bunch of different things, more bourbon, really wanting to explore that whole side of things, but really just trying to expand my palate with anything. So, as I mentioned earlier, having mezcal-based margaritas is something of my new favorite. So, to me, that feels like something that's booming. While it may be a thing that like started a long time ago, to me, it's just starting up, and I love discovering that and finding who's got the best one.
Yeah, no,
it's not always bad being late to the party. You know what I mean?
I'm always late, dude. I'm
well,
so late.
So you already know what's cool. You know yeah, what I'm saying? You don't have to figure it out. Everybody else figured yeah, it out for you, so you can just kind of embrace it. You
that's
know,
true.
It's cool to be a trendsetter too, but there's no shame in showing up a little late.
Yeah, I mean the whole local scene in itself, whether it's from a bar standpoint or from a restaurant standpoint, you're definitely seeing that all over the city. You know, I live in a Kennedy King neighborhood. We've got Cannonball Brewery who came in.
Mark's
six
a good guy.
Ago. Yeah, he's awesome.
Mark and Tanya are awesome.
Very, very nice guy. And they have, I can't remember her name, doing all the food behind the scenes. And she was
Aaron?
At, yes, yes, yeah, yes. And she's doing a fantastic job with that. Across the street, you got West Fork Whiskey. So, you know,
yeah,
coming,
I saw that's coming in.
Yeah,
yeah,
coming
cool,
back to your point earlier about, you know, loving the neighborhood vibe of things. That's exactly what I love as well, being able to walk a block away and be at a local distillery.
Maybe that's what's in. Maybe just embracing other neighborhoods of Indy that you probably wouldn't normally, you know, like think of as,
exactly,
you know, spots to be. Even though people have been, you know, living in, you know, those areas for a long time. But that's why I love going to Chicago. It's because, like, every neighborhood has its own, you know.
It's like self-contained.
Yeah.
You know?
For Indy for so long felt like you got to get in a car and go. And it's
yep,
just like.
Oh, I mean, that is changing so quickly. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, that's
so kind of going there, you know, this whole podcast is based around Indianapolis. What is it that, I mean, obviously we have the restaurant here. What is it that keeps you guys in Indianapolis? You guys both earlier said you're born and raised in Indianapolis. So why Indianapolis?
I think for me, being fortunate enough to travel a little bit and seeing what other people think are cool places to go. And
Luke has $300,000 in student loan debt is what he's trying to say.
Do I?
No.
Oh, okay. Yes, a lot of travel debt. But no. I just coming back to Indianapolis, and really over the last five, maybe 10 years, seeing that those things that were in other places do exist here. And I think, honestly, since the Super Bowl, I mean, I know this sounds lame,
yeah,
but there's been a cultural shift, you know? I think, speaking of cultural, the cultural trail is, and you know, the Monon Trail, they're like all these sort of interconnected veins, spider webs that are helping bring the city together. And I think people want to do those things, and people want, you know, people want to be just as much of a part of what's cool as everybody else everywhere else. You know what I mean? We're not unique. You know what I mean? I think that there are unique things about Indianapolis, but I just mean people in general. Like, we all want to experience the same thing. We all want to.
Are you saying that when you traveled and you saw the way communities interacted, you kind of wanted that in your city and thought maybe you might be able to help provide?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I would say so.
Totally.
That was my sarcastic no answer.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel about, you know, why do I stay here? It's like,
right,
I want to help
not?
Contribute
Let's do those cool
to
things
this
here,
city.
Yes.
Like, and I you guys do, right? I mean, like, we
absolutely.
Do. It's like, we I don't think that's being, like, you know, like, patting yourself on the back. I just, it's like, you want to be a part of your community. You know, you want to make it worth being here. And if you don't do it, then, you know, maybe no one does it.
We have ourselves to blame.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I want to be a part of that.
And that's why he's got a pinball tournament.
And that's it.
And I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're doing what you're saying.
Like,
you're doing it.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, so. If something doesn't exist, you make it happen.
Yeah, or if it does exist, but it doesn't exist in your area, embrace it and try to figure out how you can make it, you know, work in that space and, you know, run with it, because people want that. And like you said, they'll flee to safer metropolises if you don't. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen a lot of that, you know. I that's like one of my biggest like complaints about like some of the people I grew up with. You know, like I'm so ready to get out of this town. Like, why? Like, do you want to? You don't want to contribute to it, because you can. You're completely capable. Like, but you know, it's just easier to go somewhere else. You know, we don't have a pinball bar here. You know, okay, well then go to fucking New York. Like, so you know, what I'm saying, I love New York, by the way, but it's just like, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I guess the reason that I stay is because when I travel and come back, I'm like, no, I really love it here, and I think there's something cool about this place, and I don't know what it is. That would be my answer.
I think that's the perfect opportunity. To kind of wrap up that conversation, you guys hit it on the head, and I think that's the message that we kind of need to get out there. You guys couldn't have said it better. So let's talk about what we've been sipping, right? We've got this 5-star rating system, and we want to give somebody a recommendation if they're going to go out there. We've had two to taste. We had one tequila, and then we had one mezcal, right? So, Luke, if you can just tell us again the names of what we had.
Well, we have way more bottles than we actually sampled, so we don't have to drink any more than you guys want to. But if you want to try something else,
do you see anything up there that's piquing your interest?
I say we throw a third one in here.
Okay.
Let's do a third
cool.
sample of something. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't even looked
at it.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. No.
It's what's all?
Yeah.
I can't even explain the bottle right now. It looks like a...
it's like this clay.
Yeah, it looks like a pottery, piece of pottery.
Yeah, you kind of want to put flowers on the top of it, don't you?
Yeah. So let's go for it.
Drink what's inside of it.
Is that the cliche?
Yeah.
So can you kind of, one of you guys break it down, what you're opening up right now?
It's a mezcal. It's a single agave. It's a cuiche. It's a relatively new brand to our market. I hate to say that, because it's like, I don't know how long this brand's been around, but like, we just got it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that. But this is much more complex than the Buho that you just had. This is a much... smaller agave than the Espadín. Espadín's kind of like the big one for mezcal.
Immediately on the nose, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's
it's lighter
on
the smoke, right?
On that
like it's not.
Mezcal's generally run a little hotter. 47%
okay.
ABV.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
So getting closer to 100.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to drink all.
It's grassy.
That is really good. And that bottle is beautiful. So and I'll take a couple pictures and put them up on the show notes page. But it's like a beautiful blue, almost like ceramic bottle. Mm-hmm. So you definitely can't see the color of the liquid, but it is completely clear. Not a lot of labeling, so you don't really know what's in there. And it's got like a nice little cork top. It's awesome. This is tasty.
So price-wise, what are we looking at, like, for just the general retail side of things? I'm always curious about that.
It really all kind of varies.
From the ones we've drank so far today.
Yeah, I think the El Buho, from the price point, and again, you know, it's fortunate for me, but unfortunate too.
Now in a liter, by the way.
Right. Well, not all of this stuff is available at your local liquor store. I would imagine that Crown Downtown is probably always your best bet if you're in if you're in Indianapolis.
I will shamelessly plug those guys. Crown Downtown is the best spot in downtown to buy booze.
So if you're interested and you don't come to La Margarita for whatever reason, shame on you. Go to Crown Downtown. They've got an awesome selection. So
I would say nothing more than $60.
Okay. Some of the higher end ones, you're going to spend $80, $90, $100, $120. You don't need to spend that.
Yeah.
You're with Mezcal, I feel like you're always paying for quality, but you're paying for rarity as much as quality sometimes. So don't be scared to look at the labels first. That's the thing that I would say that's the most important, because by law, both tequila and mezcal have a few things they have to put on their bottle. And the big thing you always want to look for is 100% agave.
Yeah.
If you're there, you're not doing bad, you know. There, and from there it's preference. There's some I would certainly recommend, but I'm just talking on a tangent.
And definitely try before you buy. I know that's something Jared and I love to preach, and this is a perfect place to come and do that, right? You figure out what you like, and you've got people that are more knowledgeable that will recommend. So we're going to try to do that for people today. So where do we start? We had the Bujo.
We had the El Bujo first. Espadín Mezcal. The Tequila Ocho Reposado 2015, and then the Bozal, which is a Quiche from the Karwinski family.
Quiche. Okay. So our rating system, pretty basic 5-star rating system, 1 being the worst, 5 being the best. And you can kind of read that there. You wouldn't buy it at all as a 1. You would buy it at a bar as a 2. So, you know, if it's on the menu, you'd buy it there. A 3 would be you buy a bottle, you bring it home with you. 4, you're going to buy this to impress your friends. And 5, you're going to buy it to add to your collection. It's going to sit on the shelf and you're probably never going to open it. So with that explanation there, Luke, we'll let you take
you
first hit
start?
Here. And
okay. I may throw you a slight curveball for this because
unacceptable.
I do the buying at the bar, and I bought all these. So I would definitely buy it at a bar for our bar. I've drank
it's a new rating.
Mostly
God, you're
all
so
of these
literal.
At my house. Yes, so I would definitely buy to drink at home. I mean, this sounds lame, but part of what you're doing when you're buying things for a bar and putting it on your back bar is to at least visually or impress the people coming in, so I'm definitely doing that. I don't know that I would buy any of these and just admire them, honestly, because I think that if you're going to buy some, you should drink it. So I would definitely drink all these with friends at my house any day of the week or special occasions. So I don't know where that lands,
so
but
four,
I love them all.
So fours across the board, it sounds like.
I would say they're fives across the board, but I would open them and drink them.
Okay,
and then
okay.
Then look at the empty bottles.
Okay.
You could keep, you would keep the Bozal bottle. I would probably go, because I do this, I take a liter of Bujo home every
two
month
nights.
Or so. Every 2 nights. I would 3 on the Bujo. 4 on the Ocho, and then 5 on the Bozal. I tend to hold on to my bottles of Oaxacan Mezcal longer than I do my tequila, just because I like to revisit them from time to time.
I'm going to jump in right after John because I think my answers are exactly the same on that. Honestly, those are the numbers I had written down. Luke's looking at my sheet now. It's
cheater.
It's, yeah. But I think the El Bujo, like, honestly, I learned, I'm going to probably go find, if I can find a bottle at Crown, I might go buy a bottle because that was absolutely delicious. I felt some sweetness there.
Yeah.
Was it the Bozal? Am I pronouncing that correct?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more alcohol boom going to hit
you.
So
yeah, it's hot for sure.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit. And I kind of liked a little bit sweeter taste to it. So the El Bujo, I'm a huge fan. So thank you guys for that.
Yeah, sure, man.
Yeah, and that's like I said, you can sub that for a margarita any day of the week, and
I bet it's delicious.
Just as good. So,
yeah.
So I'll give my rating here. Bujo, I'm going to give that a 4. You know, I think I'd want a little bit more time drinking it before I decided to never open it up again. But it is very delicious. The Bozal, it was good. It was a little hotter. Definitely not as complex as the Bujo. But
if you let it sit and open up, you'll lose some of the heat and get more of the complexity. But yes, you're totally right.
But I would definitely buy that at a bar. I would never kind of look that over. So if it was a bar with kind of a limited selection and I saw that, I would totally be attracted to it and buy it over something that I really didn't know. And the Tequila Ocho, I just don't think my palate's there yet. It was good. Again, if I see it on a bar list, I'm definitely going to buy it again.
That's a good politically correct way to answer that, by the way.
Well, I mean, it's,
that
was
not there yet. I'm going to use that one later.
No, I mean, it's true. I can't just blame tequila for being tequila. That's rude.
We could drink more of it if you want.
Right, yes, that's true. We could get your palate there.
But,
we could do that.
But I would give that a two. And like I said, if I saw it on a bar list, I'm definitely going to buy it again. So that's my rating.
Nice.
So it looks like Buho, did that take first place?
I think that's my favorite, to be honest.
For
Buho's
everybody,
like
Buho
what I drink the most. Bozal's, like, in my opinion, the most complex, kind of, like, out there, kind of wacky. But, I mean, 9 out of 10 cocktails that or drinks I'm having on this bar will probably be El Buho.
Well,
so,
that smoke would probably come through a lot more. I thought you were talking about
it's
the Bozal.
It's more pronounced. Yeah, it's awesome. That's a good product. That's why we carry it.
obviously, right?
Duh.
Awesome. So I've really enjoyed talking to you guys.
It's been a blast. Thanks for
at the end of the show, we like to give you guys an opportunity to blast any events that you have coming up, any social media where people can find out more about you and what you guys have going on at La Margarita. So go ahead.
We've got some beer events coming down the pipeline the next couple of weeks. There are a lot of cool releases happening in Indianapolis. The tap list this weekend will be pretty fantastic. We've got some stuff from 18th Street, Ryan Guys, Three Floyds, Burnham, a whole bunch of stuff. Bare Hands. I know I'm leaving people out. I'm sorry. Then the following week, War Pigs, McKellar and Three Floyds is coming down, so we'll be tapping some of their stuff.
What's the date on that?
We're shooting for Tuesday. We haven't kind of ironed out all of the details yet, but yeah, and all of this is happening
first
pretty
week
fast,
of August.
Yeah. And then Central State and Five Rabbits did a collaboration, so we'll have that down towards the end of the weekend with a bunch of their stuff too. So just awesome beer coming down the pipeline. I know this podcast wasn't about that, but we've got it. And then Always Agave. So.
And they can find all that where.
This is about beer as well. So
okay.
You're
all right,
good
perfect.
On that.
And where can everybody find that information?
Facebook. Yeah. La Margarita on Facebook, and then La Margarita Indy on Twitter. We'll always post it. And then our Instagram, La Margarita Mobile. That's a good one. I haven't changed the handle over yet because it's kind of like a hybrid of like what we're doing on the truck, which is a little bit different than the restaurant. And the restaurant itself. So, I'll always post the flyers for any event we do up there.
And if people want to follow you and your dog, where can they do that?
Sprocket 16.
Sprocket 16. Failed campaign. You could check me out on, what am I on?
Instagram.
Wrangle. I don't even know my handle. It's so bad. I think it's Wrangle John.
All I know is I creeped on it a little bit earlier today. And
is it Wrangle John?
It is. I don't
it's like it's mostly my dog.
I was going to say,
I wasn't brazen
enough dog,
to make my own dog account. But
what is your dog's name?
He handles my account. So.
That's his exit strategy for the business, is his dog's going to become the social media phenomenon, and then he can just grumpy cat retire.
Grumpy cat retire would be really cool.
That's impressive.
Jared, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at JABYCZKO, JABYCZKO on Instagram.
I am at Fabian Time, FABIANTIME on Instagram. You can follow us at DRNKCLTR on Instagram and at DRNKCLTR.
Great simple logo,
com.
By the way. I enjoy it.
Hey, thank
like,
you,
it's
brother.
Clean.
I appreciate
nice.
That.
Yeah. I looked at it. I was like, damn, that's professional.
So I made that. So anyway, kind of. Just anybody who's listening, come out, check out La Margarita in Fountain Square. This place is awesome. John and Luke, you guys have been amazing. Thank you guys so much for giving us your time today. I cannot stress enough for people to get out here, try the beer, the agave, the tequilas, and more importantly, the food. As a Mexican person myself, the fact that I continue to come back is a testament to how awesome it is. Truth, man. Drink Thank culture. You. Stay woke, y'all. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.